UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.
Hello everyone. After a few months, Atola Mountain is back. This is a podcast about women in English literature, and this is episode 11. I'm Natalia Hernández, a teacher of English at the Official School of Languages in Elche. And this podcast has been born of the collaboration between the Official School's Media Center, Mediateca, and the UMH, Universidad Miguel Hernández. In this episode, we are not going to talk about one specific writer, but about one specific topic, violence against women. Let us not forget that the 25th of last November was the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And let us not be quiet about it. Violence against women and girls is one of the world's most prevalent human rights violations. It takes place every day, many times over, in every corner of the globe. It has serious short and long-term physical, economic and psychological consequences on women and girls, preventing their full and equal participation in society. The magnitude of its impact is immeasurable. Nearly one in three women, approximately 30%, has been a victim of physical or sexual violence by an intimate partner, or of sexual violence outside of a partnership, at least once in their life. In 2023, around 51,100 women and girls were intentionally killed by partners or family members, about 140 per day. And 60% of these cases were committed by an intimate partner or family member. Female genital mutilation affects millions of women and girls worldwide. Each year, 4 million girls undergo female genital mutilation. Over 2 million of them are under 5 years old. In the world, approximately 650 million girls and women alive today were married before their 18th birthday, that is, forcibly, when they were minors. Sex trafficking, women in the prostitution system, rape, harassment, we could go on and on. And these data are the tip of the iceberg, I believe. Violence against women is not only physical. It takes place in all dimensions of life. It's in the system. There is physical, psychological, emotional, financial, verbal, spiritual. It is in the system. In this context, as was to be expected, women writers have often been forbidden, marginalized. They've been made invisible and underrated. But they also have used literature to speak out, to report abuse of violence against the so-called second sex, women. Today, you are going to listen to some excerpts from some works written by some of these women. I hope you enjoy this episode and feel encouraged to read more of these authors' work. The first excerpt is a piece of an essay that was written by Mary Wollstonecraft in the year 1792 a vindication of the rights of women. Mary Wollstonecraft, who happens to be Mary Shelley's mother, the author of The Amazing Frankenstein, was a British philosopher and a women's rights advocate. And A Vindication of the Rights of Women is one of the earliest works of feminist philosophy. In this book, she calls for equality between women and men and highlights the fact that all women need to receive an education. Let's not forget that nowadays, globally, an estimated 122 million girls are out of school. One of my colleagues at the Official School of Languages, Sonia, will now read a fragment of this essay for you.
Women are often made to submit, to suffer silently, and the very constitution of civil society has rendered an enormous portion of the female sex slaves to men. In the marriage tie, they too often experience a master where they ought to find a friend. The tyranny exercised over them is of the most odious and clandestine sort, for it is justified by custom or sanctified by opinion. Many women, living in fear of a husband's temper or brutality, have their faculties shackled and their spirits broken long before life is half over.
We'll now listen to Irene read an excerpt from Charlotte Bronte, Jane Eyre. Written in 1847, Jane Eyre is considered an early feminist novel because its main character, Jane, challenges patriarchal expectations by refusing to compromise her values for a man. She leaves a relationship when it is unequal and seeks an independent life with a voice of her own. Let's listen to Irene.
John Reed struck suddenly and strongly. I was knocked down and my head touched the door. Every nerve in my frame thrilled with a species of terror I never felt before. "You are dependent," he said. "You ought to beg and not live here with gentlemen's children like us." In the Red Room, I sobbed in my solitude, for it was not the blow I feared most, but the injustice, the harshness, the cold indifference to my pain. I was too little to understand why I must bear these things, but not too little to feel them bitterly.
Catherine Mansfield was a writer from New Zealand who became a prominent figure in the modernist movement. In 1912, she wrote a short story, The Woman at the Store, a story about the devastating effects of isolation, patriarchal control, and the destruction of female identity. Maria, a good friend of mine, is going to read an extract of this story. I hope you enjoy it.
Something in her eyes made us draw back. It was as though a hand had torn aside a veil and shown us the raw misery beneath. "He beat me," she said simply. "He beat me till I couldn't stand. Then he went away and left me here with the child." The words were spoken without passion, but with a dull finality that chilled us. There was no hope in her voice, no hatred even, only the weariness of one who has endured too much and expects nothing more from life.
One of my favorite poets is the incomparable Maya Angelou, who died in 2014. In her poems, she emphasized the empowerment and independence of women, particularly black women, through her writing and activism. Her poem, Still I Rise, challenged racial and gender stereotypes and urged women to find their voice and be resilient. Let's listen again to my good friend Maria, reading the poem.
"You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trot me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Beset with gloom. Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with a certainty of tides. Just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes? Shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines, digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope the slave. I rise. I rise. I rise.
To conclude this section, we are going to listen to a poem called False Abolition, which was written by Preta Rara. Preta Rara is a Brazilian rapper, author, historian, and former maid. In 2016, she wrote a post on social media about her time as a domestic worker. It went viral, and it sparked an avalanche of responses from maids all over Brazil, sharing stories of the racism, exploitation, and abuse they'd experienced at work. I've taken the liberty of bringing to the program an author who is not an English speaker because of my friend Vanessa, a feminist and a survivor of the prostitution system. She chose it, and she is going to read it for all of us.
False abolition. Black girls don't play with black dolls. Black dolls. Unfortunately, this is the reality in Brazil. Poor girls don't play with black dolls. But Ready Black Girl is here to show that it can be different, all right? I'm tired of the whitening of Brazil. Prejudice, racism, like never seen before. Black girls don't play with the black dolls. It was Barbie that I carried into my teenage years. Why can't I walk embarrassing my roots? They always laughed at my hair and at my nose. In the soap operas, I'm the maid. On the TV, I'm the slave. They don't give me opportunities here for anything. I'm a revolutionary, conscious black woman. I use my body, I show myself, I use my mind. I'm Afro-descendant. You are going to have to accept me like this. Rotted hair is good for me. Boss pissed because he won't hear me. For his company, because I don't have light eyes. He does accept me. I'm entering your store. I'm spent. I'm consumed. Then you accept me? That's absurd. Money has no color, but for work it does. There are many successful black people, and I say amen. A black woman change her color isn't normal. Just to be accepted in the country of the Daniel. I won't trade my race for anything. This is my home. Another militant black woman show her face. A white man running is late. A black man running is armed and police bullets fly in every direction. Genocide grows with my black people. Why must we die just for being black? Racist system, devil's bread. Genocide grows with my black people. Why must we die just for being black? Racist system, devil's bread. People running in the streets everywhere. With blood in their eyes, in despair. A black student is stopped and called a suspect. November 20 didn't exist by chance. Zumbi of Palmares fought and was executed. His head was cut off, salted, and displayed on a post in Recife for the cause he defended. I'm a Quilombola, descendant of the wild zombie. I want to be you, oppressive system. Who will stop me from smiling? May 13, the false liberation of the slaves. The little princess freed us and condemned us. The system made her seem like a worshipped savior, but gave us neither education nor information. The sexagenary law, what a joke. They freed old enslaved people without any condition. The free womb law, or hated the condemned womb law, like black child without fathers scattered everywhere. I didn't learn this in school. I learned into the school of the life. I'm studied by searching for wisdom. Our culture forgotten, erased, and burned. In school, I never heard of Dandara. We are forced to learn what comes from outside, Europe, the East, cultures that are not ours. Afro-Brazilian religions discriminate against, call it devilish, call it ugly, but we have to move to believe. The conquer anything we must fight. Black girls don't play with the black dolls. We are all the same, so why do you reject me? Black girls don't play with the black dolls. We are all the same, so why do you reject me?
I feel those were wonderful readings. Thank you to my guests. And it is now time for our section on screen, where I'll mention films, series, web pages, or podcasts that are related to the topic we're dealing with on this episode. I will leave you the links in the description of this episode on iVoox. You shouldn't miss the episode about Mary Wollstonecraft on one of my favorite podcasts, History Extra, on the BBC. There are many different film adaptations of the novel Jane Eyre, from 1943 with John Fontaine and Orson Welles to the latest adaptation in 2011. I'll leave you the link to the 1997 version of this story that you can watch on YouTube on the description of your episode in iVoox. Violence against women is the main theme in The Color Purple. This is a novel by Alice Walker that has been adapted into multiple films and even a musical. The original novel was adapted into the 1985 film, directed by Steven Spielberg, the 2005 stage musical, and the 2023 musical film adaptation directed by Blitz Basawule. Don't miss the chance to see The Color Purple. Sylvia Plath, the great poet, wrote about violence against women and, as many others, suffered this terrible violence. Do not miss her reading her own poems on YouTube. And to conclude today, I'll read, as is customary in A Taller Mountain, I'll read Rupi Kaur's beautiful poem, Legacy. I stand in the sacrifices of a million women before me, thinking, what can I do to make this mountain taller so the women after me can see further? Thank you for being here with us today. And a huge thank you to you, Vanessa, Sonia, Irene and Maria, who have contributed with the voices, with your voices, to make this mountain taller. You'll find the link to this podcast, as well as those links I mentioned on the section on screen, posted on the Instagram page of the Official School of Languages. Subscribe, please, to our program on iVoox, and do not forget to give us a like if you enjoyed it. It will also be available, of course, on the school's website and on UMH Radio's website. A huge thank you to the entire staff of UMH Radio. In the technical team today, Isabel Hernandez and Borja Cabrera.
UMH Podcast, el campus sonoro de la Universidad Miguel Hernández.